Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we have open lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, perhaps something about the book of Revelation, or if you have some nagging, lingering personal issue you'd like to discuss, we have opened the phone lines for you right now at 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. And we're now in the final week, and as a matter of fact, the final couple of 3 days of our look at the book of Revelation. And Bob Christopher, it's been fun. And Richard Piper.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we've said from day one, as far as the basic gospel is concerned, it really rests on three words: Jesus is alive. That is the story. He was raised from the dead, and he rules and reigns over everything. And the book of Revelation really shows that. A lot of times we want to stop right there at the death, burial, and resurrection, but there was an ascension. There was this crowning of him as king, placing him upon the throne of David, where he is going to rule and reign forever. We see that in the book of Revelation, and particularly in this chapter 20. It's one of those chapters that introduces many of the prophecy buzzwords. I mean, if you've been in those circles, you've engaged in those conversations, you have tried to figure out what the millennial reign is all about. Is it a literal 1,000 years, or is it just a metaphor for something else? You've talked about the great white throne judgment. You've probably debated who's going to be there.
Yeah.
Is this something that everybody's going to be at, or is this just for the lost? What is it? And then there's this second death in the lake of fire. And we get bogged down in all of these images trying to figure out exactly what they mean, but John is using them to advance the story, advance the good news, to really make it more clear to us of Christ's victory over sin and death and the fact that we are victorious with him. So we know some things from this chapter. And that's what we really want to focus on today. We know that an angel binds Satan during this millennial reign and keeps him in a bottomless pit. We also know that souls that were beheaded for their faith come back to life and reign with Christ. We know that when this period ends, Satan is set free to gather a mighty army for battle. That sounds a lot like what we've already addressed in several previous chapters about Armageddon. But then a fire consumes the enemies of God, and Satan is thrown into a fiery lake to be tormented day and night. What do we learn from these images? What do these pictures tell us about Jesus? Well, we see his ultimate power and authority. We recognize that he does reign just as all of the prophets said that he would. We see the dead in Christ being raised to life to rule and reign with him. That's the gospel story. We're baptized into Christ's death, into his burial, and then we are raised to walk in the newness of life with him, to rule and reign with him. And then we see just this final exclamation point on Christ's defeat of Satan. He defeated him at the cross.
Right.
That's where he made a public spectacle of Satan. That's where he crushed his head. And we know that to be true, and we see that just carried out to its ultimate end in this. We also are introduced to the great white throne judgment. This is where God's judgment ends. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ, they're going to meet their final destination right at this particular judgment. And what is that? They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire, and they're going to experience eternal separation from God. That's why we need to do everything that we can to voice this gospel message to as many people as possible. There's an offer of life on the table. There's nothing to do except to receive it.
Yeah.
Christ has done the work, so we need to be vocal about that good news.
Absolutely. This is Basic Gospel, and that is Basic Gospel. Plenty of open lines, friends, for you to be a part of Basic Gospel right now. 1-800-677-9377. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for being here. Plenty of time on the clock. Plenty of open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
We're going to go to our good friend Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
What's up, Brad?
Hey, how you doing? This is just one of the part of the best parts of my day, and my days are pretty good. So, you know, several times during this month, the mention of the timeline, people interested in the timeline that you can just lay everything out in sequence. And I'm just reminded, in the Old Testament, the pattern of God's revelation was not sequential. I mean, we have the heavens and the earth created, and then we go into the days of creation. But in between that, the earth was formless and void. Darkness covered the surface. To me, the darkness has always been evil. But we don't get any information about what may have caused that darkness until Isaiah 14, when it talks about the rebellion that went on in heaven between Lucifer and God. So we see God writing one, you know, inspiring one thing in Genesis, and you can see detail added to even Genesis 1 and 2 further on in Genesis and further down in the New Testament. So my point is that God reveals things. He doesn't even reveal things sequentially. Some things are. But you got to be careful that you understand this non-sequential revelation, because you'll get all tied up. And I think the book of Revelation itself is written much in the same manner.
Yeah, I agree with that, Brad. And I think when you try to lay out a timeline and put all the events in order, that's when your head starts to spin.
Absolutely.
Because you just can't really do that. I mean, God wants us to know what this story is all about.
And who it's pointing to.
Absolutely. And I think it rests upon this dividing line centered on worship. Who will we worship?
Absolutely.
Are we going to worship the sun? Are we going to worship Satan and his way of doing things? That is what the story is all about. That is the pivotal point in this thing.
And even in the New Testament itself, I mean, Luke and Acts, and we see Paul writing Thessalonians, Corinthians, Galatians, and then he writes Romans. But people read Romans and don't even take into account that Paul's comments on new creation in Corinthians was written, and then Galatians 2:20 was written, and then here we see Romans 7, and if you don't really put that in perspective on how Paul was revealed to with new creation and everything, you'll get everything tied around an axle. So I just encourage people to really try to listen to you guys and keep in mind what you've been saying about how to approach the book of Revelation. And the main thing is Jesus Christ and the revelation of him.
Absolutely.
And
well,
that is the bottom line. And I love you guys. Now I'll let you go.
Well, thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Brad makes a great point, doesn't he, Richard? The fact that Jesus is the story.
Yeah.
And so everything circles around him, points to him, brings us to him. That's what John wants us to know. Like I said, we get all caught up, bogged down in the detail, trying to figure it out, trying to, guess dates and all of those sort of things. But this is truly a story about Jesus and his rule and reign, not only over all things, but his rule and reign in our lives as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to think of Jesus and time in Revelation as, imagine a big balloon, and Jesus is inside the balloon in the center of it, and there's all of these pointers to Jesus. They all point to the center, regardless of what position they started from on this sphere and whatever else. It still is Jesus. Everything is Jesus. And when you lose sight of that, you lose sight of it all.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Esther, living in Phoenix, Arizona, listening to us on KXXT. Hi, Esther.
Hi. Hi, thank you for taking my call. I had a question. It was about Lake of Fire and that. I always thought that when you get judged and the Great White Judgment, when you get judged and you get, when you die, you know, when you're not saved, you're not with Christ, and you get, I thought you got thrown into a lake of fire where you had burned forever, and then I heard that no, that that's a second death. We die, and then we turn into ashes, and that's it. Do you have any scripture where I can get that right? Because I thought we were thrown into a lake of fire, which we would burn forever, you know what I mean, suffer. I know we're eternally separated from Christ, but I just wanted to get that straight scripture-wise so I will know that I know.
Well, Revelation 20 talks about the Great White Throne Judgment. Starting in verse 13, it says, "The sea gave up its dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into this lake of fire." That's all we know. I mean, that's all that Scripture reveals to us. We do know this, that Jesus Christ was going to baptize people by the Spirit and by fire. Fire, in that instance, represents judgment. And so these folks are thrown into the lake of fire, the eternal judgment of God against their rebellion. That's what we know. And it's going to be a horrific place to be. So it's not a place anybody would want to be necessarily. But those who are there, I think, would rather be there than have to bow their knee and be submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just mind-boggling, but I think that's true. As John said about the light, when the light came into the world, the people shunned it. Why? Because they love darkness more. That's where they want to be, in the darkness, in God's judgment, in this lake of fire forever. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible thought.
Because it's so easy not to go there.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, Esther, did that answer your question?
Esther actually we dropped the line for some reason.
Esther, did that answer that question for you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay, yeah, it did, because, see, there was a CD that I had sent for a while back, and it talked about that, and it would say, no, once we get judged, we will die, we turn to ashes, and that's it. But what I always thought, no, we were going to be there, and it was going to be a real ugly, ugly, ugly place, but, you know, because we chose, I mean, we make our choice not to serve them, that's where we're going if we choose not to walk with the Lord. I didn't think it was going to be that simple, that we just go there and, you know, we just die, we turn to ashes, and that's it. From what I was reading the Bible, no, we're going to be there. It's going to be an ugly place, no presence of God, no peace, with just all the ugliness on this earth. That's what was going to be there.
Well, here's one other verse for you, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. It says, when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven, he will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power.
Yes, from his presence, with every evil, ugly, ugly thing there. Yeah, because I said, can't be that simple. I mean, if we're choosing not to, if we're walking with God, God's not going to put us in a place like that and just to say, okay, you're just going to die and it's going to be over with after he's giving us chance after chance. And I know there's going to be every ugly thing there, people screaming probably to get out, want to get out, you know, and no presence of God, no peace, no air, no nothing. That's what I always, you know, went off, and I would tell people when I would, you know, when I, because I go around, I talk to people a lot about the Word, about the Bible, and I'd try to pray with them, pray a prayer of salvation, go to nursing homes, whatever I could do, wherever, if I'm in a Jack in the Box, McDonald's, whatever I could talk to. And I'd tell them that, you know, that's not a place nobody would be. But when I got that tape, it says, well, once we go to that second judgment, we're going to die. We're just going to burn. We're going to be dead, and that's it. No suffering, no nothing. And I went, wow.
Esther, all we really have is what the Word says.
Yeah.
And I think we don't need to go beyond what the Word says. Many people have tried to embellish what the fires of hell will look like and what they will be, Dante's Inferno, and most of our information about hell comes from extra-biblical sources. But if we would just rely on the Word and just stay right there and not go beyond it, we would be A-OK. Well, Esther, sure appreciate your...
of the teeth and all that stuff, it doesn't sound like you just die and that's it. They're going to say you're gashing of the teeth and all, you know what I mean?
We know what you mean, Esther. Thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. Yeah. We'd love to send you this booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. You hang on, Esther.
And it's available to all of our listeners for a gift of any amount, Our Guaranteed Future, the booklet that we've produced, and make it available to you, as I said, for a gift of any amount. And for a generous gift of $50 or more, you'll get Richard Piper's series called Revelation, It's No Mystery. So simply go online to basicgospel.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Either way, a great way to make your donation to Basic Gospel.
And just a reminder, we have 3 days left for this offer today, tomorrow, and the next day. So take advantage of it. And we certainly would like to hear from you before the end of the month. Your support is vitally important to this outreach. We are 100% listener-supported radio. We need your help. If this ministry has touched your life, if you've understood that your sins have been forgiven once and for all, that your salvation is guaranteed, that you've gained a deeper understanding of the love of God, join with us so that others can know and experience the same love, the same joy, the same freedom that you're experiencing right now in Christ. So
absolutely,
join the Basic Gospel team.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to John in Modesto, California, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, John.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was going to go along with the same subject you were just speaking to the previous caller about. But two questions. One, the first one, when he cast the unprofitable servant into outermost darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, is it accurate to refer to that as hell or eternal torment?
Well, I think so. I mean, all of it is, what it's trying to communicate to us is there are folks that are going to be in the presence of God, and there are folks that are going to be outside his presence, and that's going to be represented by darkness. That's going to be represented by this lake of fire. We know it's going to be a horrible place. So you see contrast in the Word of God, and that's how we understand things so often, is in terms of contrast. So there's light, that's God, that's going to be this kingdom that we experience. There's going to be darkness. So in the New Jerusalem, this light of God is going to, fill New Jerusalem. And then there's going to be outside of that. That's going to be darkness. There are going to be those who are judged at the great white throne. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. So all of these imagery really tells the picture of those who have chosen to rebel against the one true God, what their final destiny will be.
So as a Christian, it would be accurate to explain hell or the other place other than in the presence of God to be a place of eternal torment for eternity, eternal torment.
Well, that's what it says in 2 Thessalonians 1. They will be punished with eternal destruction or torment, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I just heard something the other day. They were talking about how there's really no such thing as hell. I didn't believe that was fully accurate, so that's why I was giving you guys a call.
Yeah, it's just, I think if somebody says that, I'll throw out my hot sports opinion. They don't really truly see the nature of sin. It's not just these actions that we do. We try to call them mistakes or, you know, I just messed up. But sin is an evil power, and it manifests itself in these evil actions that bring harm to others. We just don't understand the nature of that, the rebellion that it produces. And so God has a place for those who rebel against him. I mean, it's not like he hasn't offered life in Jesus Christ. It's not like he hasn't shown what that wrath is going to be about. It's not like that people don't know it's coming, and yet they still choose that over faith in Jesus. Like I said, it's mind-boggling. It is just simply mind-boggling. But that's the nature of sin, and when we understand it, then I think, you know, the things in the Word of God start making sense. When we try to make sin be something different, if we just call them mistakes or, you know, mess-ups and that sort of thing, then it brings into question, you know, why would God punish us for making some mistakes? Why would God do that? Well, you're just missing the whole point. You really are. Sin is a devastating, destructive force in this world, brought into this world by Satan himself. It's deceptive in nature, and its purpose, its end, is death. Satan is here to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. That's the very nature of sin.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate the information.
You're welcome, John. Thanks for your call today. Okay. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you this booklet as well.
You guys, I had a question from Stevie. He writes to us from Nazareth, Pennsylvania. He's an assistant youth minister, and he said this week that he asked a few of the young men in his group to give him a concise explanation of how to be saved. He said, I told them to tell me as if I had never heard the gospel before. My challenge to them was to give me an answer that was about 10 seconds or 5 sentences long. I was curious as to how you guys would answer that same challenge, and I think it's probably more than a 10-second answer.
More than a 10-second answer, but I think the reality of it is this, that we know that there's something missing. You know, if we just look in the mirror, take a few minutes to examine our lives, we know something's wrong. We know there's this sense of emptiness. Well, God has a solution for that in Jesus Christ. The reason we're empty is that we're dead spiritually. What's the solution? Life. That life is available to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead so that we could experience everlasting life. That is the gospel message. When we believe Jesus, when we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead and confess with our lips that he is Lord, we are saved. We go from death to life, and will be in his presence forever.
Stevie, hope that's a help to you. Well, friends, thanks for being a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. If you've liked what you've heard, please like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel, we're going to send you a copy of the booklet we've been talking about, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount. With your donation of $50 or more, we'll include the booklet and the 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, by Richard Piper. Your gifts, friends, are vital to keep Basic Gospel on the air. But at the same time, your gift can provide new understanding of the book of Revelation. But time for this offer is running short, so take advantage of it now. Receive the booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount, or for a donation of $50 or more, both the booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery. To donate right now, you can call 1-800-727-2828, and we hope that you will. You can also visit us online at basicgospel.net. But again, the phone number, 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, or our website at basicgospel.net. While you're at the website, be sure to click subscribe to join our email list for news and information about the ministry and for resources available to you. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll be back for another edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.